Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I'm Rochelle Danae Poth, and I'm very excited because today I have a guest with me for this episode. And so I'm really looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have. And I know that you will be fascinated by all of the things that are available for educators, and you're going to have a lot of fun learning with me today and my special guest. So without taking any further time, I want to introduce you all to Dr. Julie Evans. And Dr. Evans, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Great being here, Rochelle. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And so I have been looking into your background, and just I'm amazed at all the different roles and things that you've done in your career. So first, I always like to ask my guests, specific to Project Tomorrow, which we will be speaking about, but just in general, how did you get to where you are today, if you wouldn't mind sharing?
Well, that's a fascinating question. So like many people, my journey has not been a straight line, right? So I'm currently the chief executive officer of Project Tomorrow, which is a national education nonprofit group. But I came into this position from having been in the technology industry, in particular in the education technology industry, with two startups. So I bring to the conversations that we're having today about the future of education, the role of technology, and what does digital learning look like in the future, both a background in the tech industry with understanding the dynamics associated with that, as well as familiarity with what it means to be part of an education nonprofit group. So I kind of wear two hats at all times, it feels like. Sometimes I'm thinking more from a, oh, this is really interesting technology. I wonder how we're going to get into the bits and bytes of what that means. And other times my perspective is more from a educator and nonprofit executive, understanding the sustainability of these type of initiatives and how to measure impact in different ways. So kind of two-headed monster, maybe a little bit.
Well, I would say that it seems like, at least from listening to what you just said there, I would give you more hats to say that you're wearing, because you have done a lot. And something that I really appreciate about when I talk to people, especially people who are now working with different organizations, nonprofits, ed tech companies, everything, like all of the different experiences that you have. And so you understand it, you get it, you know what teachers need, you know what the district administrators are looking for, you understand the technology component and all of these other aspects, and you're able to bring all of that together. And that's not easy to do, but I think that that lends itself to, you know, how you are authentic in your work. And I kind of get like that sometimes too, because I'm in the classroom and then I'm outside of the classroom and I understand the tech, but I love it because I feel like I can bring value to so many different spaces. And I'm sure, just based on what you just said and what I've learned about you before talking to you, I get that. And so with all of those things that you just shared with us about your background, in your role with Project Tomorrow, I can imagine you don't have a ton of free time, but what would your day-to-day experience look like in the work that you do?
So that's a fascinating question, Rochelle. Every day is different for me. One of the things that we do at Project Tomorrow is we're all about how do you translate research into practice? Lots of people talk about that, but how do you actually do it? So I think sort of the types of things that I do during the day are both looking at research through our Speak Up research project. So what are we learning from that? But then also working with school and district leaders about what does that mean? So how can I use that research data, the findings, the results, the Project Tomorrow reports, infographics, briefings, how can I use that as a school or district leader to impact change in my school or in my district or in my community? So it's sort of a combination of paying attention to the research, understanding what the research is saying, and then doing the interpretation. I really think of myself as a translator sometimes, Rochelle, in terms of translating. So here's a statistic, 50% of your middle school students said this, 75% of your high school teachers said this, 90% of your parents want this or say they want this, and then translating that for school and district leaders, also state leaders, in terms of what does that really mean in terms of potentially policies or programs or funding or new initiatives. So that translation role is an important part of my everyday activities.
And I can imagine, because I've looked at the website and just see the numbers of schools and students and surveys and all of that information that has to be processed. And I know I've taken a lot of surveys in my own school, or just I have friends that do research, whether they're working on their doctorate or just gathering information because they want to learn and all that that entails. I'm so thankful that I'm able to see like the statistics and see what that means for my role in education. And so with what you have, you know, with Project Tomorrow and this Speak Up Research initiative, you know, like, what does that look like? You know, how does it work, or how do schools get involved in that? Is there anything that you can share that kind of gives an overview of it?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, we started Speak Up as a research project in 2003. Rochelle, I don't know if you realize this, but it's been just about 20 years that we've been doing that research project, which makes Speak Up the largest repository of authentic feedback from K-12 students, teachers, parents, and administrators, particularly on digital learning. It's really fascinating work. But what we do is every year we create a series of online surveys that we make available to any K-12 school or district that wants to use them. They're all professionally put together. They're all normed and tested. We know that they're collecting authentic data. They're written with the audience in mind. So how do you ask a question of a busy teacher? How do you ask a question of a third grader? How do you ask a question of a parent who has high school students? So we put together these surveys. And then we, as I said, make them available to any K-12 school or district that wants to use them to collect feedback from their stakeholders. Now, the difference is anyone can put together a survey, right? We're all doing that all the time, is that these are professionally developed and we do all the processing, everything for the school and district at no cost. This is our nonprofit mission, is to help school and district leaders learn about the views of their stakeholders and to use those views as assets. And so we provide that as a service to schools and districts. So the schools and districts get access to the surveys. They're all online. They promote them out to their stakeholders. They decide, this year we're going to poll our teachers using the Speak Up survey, maybe our students, maybe next year we'll do parents, maybe we'll do principals every other year, something like that. We do all the back end processing and we give back to every school or district their own locally collected data with state comparative data and national comparative data. Now, that's part of this idea of how do we translate research into practice. So if I say to you, 50% of your students in your junior high school say that they're engaged in learning, 50% say they are not. What does that mean? Is that some weird number just for your school? Or is that a trend that we're seeing nationwide or that we're seeing in a particular state? So having that state level and national level comparative data helps to provide the context and make that translation. Now, the other thing that makes Speak Up so unique is that in addition to providing that service to schools and districts, and again, any school or district could use any of our surveys. There's nothing that says you have to use all the student surveys or all the teacher surveys or all the administrator surveys. You decide which ones you want to use. In addition to that, we take all the national data, all that large scale national collection of data. Last year, we had about 75,000 surveys that were submitted through Speak Up. And we create a series of reports and infographics. I do a congressional briefing every year on the findings, so that we're not just impacting change and transformation at the classroom level, the school level, the district, and the community level, but we're also stimulating new conversations at the national level about what is the future of learning and what is the future of utilizing technology in particular most effectively. So we look at it as two different levels of impact. Level of impact at the school or district level, and then also at the national level in terms of our national distribution of the content and the findings.
Well, I know that I was, you know, surveys, like you say, I've used surveys. Everybody's either taken surveys, made surveys, or both of them. And there's an absolute science to creating surveys. And I was not aware of that as much until working on my own doctoral studies and just thinking through because the types of questions, because obviously you want the data to be reliable because then you're going to act upon that. And there's so much that goes into it that I really had no idea. And I know in looking at the site last week, I thought I had seen some really large numbers, like more than 6 million students or something had taken the survey in like 35,000 or more schools in the United States. And I cannot imagine how you have the time to process all that. And I know technology comes into play with that as well, but to be able to reach all of those students in all of those schools throughout the United States and to be able to track trends and information. And then knowing if I say, oh yeah, half of my students are engaged and the other half are not. And knowing, well, I surveyed 25 students and being able to look at that. And in my work as a classroom teacher, or if I'm a district administrator, to be able to do something to act upon that information. So I greatly appreciate the research that goes behind creating surveys and all of the back end of, you know, how that information is then shared. And so my question for you is, with all of this information, access to all of these surveys and the results, are there some different trends that you've seen, especially in the past couple of years? Because I know you said you've been around for since 2003, but in the last couple of years, we know things have changed a little bit in terms of life and education, and of course. So have you noticed anything? Are there some insights that you can share?
Yeah, some really fascinating insights, Rochelle, particularly looking at the data prior to the pandemic and the experiment in virtual learning during that experience and after that experience. It's another unique differentiator for the Speak Up Research Project because we have that longitudinal view. We can look at how things were before, we can look at how things changed during the process, and we look at it where we are today. I think one of the trends that I've been talking a lot about is how, and it makes sense, right? Not only are teachers using more technology in the classroom today than they ever have before, their mindset has changed about the use of technology. The valuation that they're placing on it has changed over the last couple of years. Now, that's not to say that we are all utilizing these digital tools and resources effectively in the classroom. We still need some more work to be done on that. But that change in teacher mindset was something that we had not seen prior to the pandemic. You know, it's funny, Rochelle, people will say to me, so Julie, I'm sure that the student data changes every year. And I bet the teacher data changes every year. And I would say prior to the pandemic, I would agree with half of that statement. So we saw a lot of change, and we still do every year in the student data. So what social media are students using? What are they thinking about in terms of the future skills that they need? How are they connecting to their classmates and to their teachers? We've seen some really interesting changes there. But prior to the pandemic, our teacher data actually did not change very much. There was obviously campfires of innovation, teachers that were doing amazing things, teachers that were really thinking about how to help their students develop the skills they needed for the future. But we were not seeing the types of wholesale changes in terms of the activities around the use of technology, or most notably, the valuation that teachers placed on it. So a big lesson learned, turning lemons into lemonade, let's say, coming from the pandemic, was that teachers developed a stronger valuation about how technology could help them become more effective and what it could mean in terms of preparing their students for future success. They still are looking for additional support from their school and district leaders. They're looking for additional professional learning. But it isn't so much how do I use Kahoot or how do I use this online curriculum that my district has put in front of me. The focus now that we're seeing in teachers' aspirations for professional learning is how do I use this tool to really differentiate instruction and meet the needs of all of my students? How do I use this new technology that I'm bringing into my classroom to understand how to personalize the learning process. How do I set up classroom practices that make sense? So the questions have changed from the teachers as a result of the pandemic. And I think that that's really interesting. I think that we are in a moment in time, leveraging a moment in time to be able to help teachers be more effective. Now for the students, it's funny, we get so excited, those of us that have been in this ed tech space for a while, about a new tool here, a new tool there. You know, obviously everyone's excited about AI and all sorts of things. We have to keep in mind that for today's students, our K-12 students that have grown up in this world, technology is just a utility. It's just a way to get from A to B, or to do something more effectively. So they are less subject to the extreme highs, shall we say, in terms of excitement about using a technology. And that's why the students, even though our educators continue to say, oh, the reason I'm using this technology in my classroom, the reason I'm using these quizzes or these games or this animation or a virtual lab is because it engages my students in learning. Students actually don't see engagement as a top benefit. It's there, it's not in their top 10 because they're looking more at maybe a more sophisticated approach. What does it help me do? What's the impact? What skills am I developing? Can I be more efficient? Does it help me save time? And so I think that's also an interesting trend, a different mindset about the use of technology in the classroom.
Yeah, and I can think of over, I mean, even with my own students, I had created some surveys early on, end of 2020, moving into the school year 2020, 2021, and then on a regular basis, just to quickly get an idea, you know, what do you feel is making a difference in your learning? You know, which tools do you like? And, you know, there's no shortage of tools out there. And student engagement is something that when I do conference presentations or something, I talk about all the things that I thought that I was doing right, that I was completely wrong about. And student engagement was something I completely misunderstood. Like I thought it looked a certain way. But at that point, I wasn't using surveys. I wasn't getting student feedback. I wasn't having the conversations with them. And I really didn't know where to begin or how to do that, or that there were resources like this out there. And with a lot of educators, of which I am one of them, you think it's one more thing, you know, like I have to do this, or where am I going to find the resources for it? And so it's nice that this SpeakUp has all of the things that are available. And I'll make sure that I share all of these links for people to check out as well. But just thinking about, you know, what you have learned, the insights that you have shared. One other question is thinking about this initiative, you know, have you seen it, or have you spoken to administrators who have said, yes, you know, because of this, it has made us rethink educational policies or change some of the practices of our teachers in our classrooms based on what we found?
All the time. And it's absolutely amazing. And I love it when school and district leaders in particular will share with me those stories, whether they're the superintendent or the chief academic officer or the chief information officer, because not only is it validate our work, it means that people are effectively translating research into practice so that we're not just collecting all this research, whether we're doing it independently or part of SpeakUp, just for a cocktail party conversation, but rather actually to impact change. So lots of different examples. We actually have on our website right now three case studies from three different school districts about how they've used the data. But there's some reoccurring themes that have come up. You know, one of the things that we have seen over time is that school districts want to engage with parents more effectively. They understand the role of parents from an engagement standpoint, a building community, supporting their students. And so many districts have told us that as a result of using the SpeakUp parent surveys, they have a better understanding about what types of tools are best for engaging parents, what types of messages work better across different platforms, and that it isn't a one size fits all. You know, it's really interesting, Michelle, that in our schools today, we actually have four different generations of parents. And imagine those four different generations of parents are using different types of social media tools, different types of communication tools, and they want to hear in different ways from their child's teacher, the school, the district, about what's going on in the community. So that's a significant thing that we hear all the time, is that as a result of utilizing the Speak Up survey, again, professionally put together, the questions have been normed and tested. Someone can feel comfortable that the results are valid. With parents, they've been able to get that information. We also know that for many districts, they have been using the Speak Up surveys to really understand, what is that homework gap look like? What does that digital divide look like? You know, we know that as a result of the virtual learning experiment through the pandemic, lots of schools and districts facilitated opportunities for students to bring devices home, maybe gave them a Wi-Fi hotspot, or were instrumental in helping them get internet connectivity at home. But we haven't closed that gap altogether. And so to understand what that means, either from the student perspective or what teachers are seeing in their classroom, is another way that the data provides interesting insights for schools and districts. I love it also when school districts will tell me that because of what they have learned through Speak Up, they're better able to articulate to their community, whether it's their teachers, their principals, their students, their parents and families, what the value is of using technology within learning, what the value is of some of these new learning models, these new approaches. And they didn't have that insight before because they didn't have the understanding of either what the aspirations were of those stakeholders or what they needed to overcome some of the challenges. So that our ability to put together more effective messaging and articulation of the benefits of what they're doing, whether it's a blended learning model, we're still offering some virtual classes, we're obviously one-to-one in the classroom, whatever that might be, they're feeling more successful with that messaging and that articulation. And I think that's really interesting and wonderful too.
Yeah, and I had like all these questions as you were saying some of these things. I'm like, I got to ask her about this. I was going to ask you about the success stories, but you had, prior to that, you had mentioned the case studies. And I remember when I had looked at the site to see all the things that were available. I know there was like the results of, you know, the data that was shared. I think there were lesson plans, there were case studies. And there was some like common themes that I noticed throughout it, like being able to reflect the needs of the school community and really, you know, connect with the parents and the families to know what they need to feel supported. Was also talking about like equity and making sure that students had access to the devices and the internet. And that is something that, of course, in the last 3 years, we learned that there was a huge gap in that. Being able to, you know, people want to know what it's like, you know, did this work? How did it help you? What did it help you to change or do differently? Especially whenever coming to technology, right? It's always like, this is the awesome tool, but why do you want to use it? How is it going to impact students and learning? And I mean, there's so many other questions with that. So sharing some of those moments, like the success where schools can look at it and then they can identify something and they can see the value in it is important. And are there any other, you know, examples of success stories that you remember, you know, during this time, you're like, oh yeah, I remember this one time that you could share?
I think that one of the things that was particularly interesting for me, and I carry it with me all the time, is this idea that the students have good ideas. And I've had so many administrators that have said to me, you know, we've always talked about student voice, right? We've talked about student voice and student choice. But to utilize the Speak Up research project, the surveys, as well as the findings, to really understand what students need today to be successful, I think really gets at the heart of our mission and the heart of what so many school and district leaders are committed to. And so those examples of how I'm thinking about a particular school district in Wisconsin that said they didn't really understand what the benefits were going to be as they went to a one-to-one implementation where every student was assigned a device and could take it home. So what was the benefit of being able to do that? Rather than rely upon their own assumptions, their own mythology, maybe, or conventional wisdom that wasn't true anymore. Being able to listen directly to their students not only is a good representation of student voice, but we're actually creating student agency. We're understanding that students can be have a place, have a role in driving their own educational destiny. And I think that, that's the one that always stands true with me. When someone says, you know, we thought we knew what our students wanted or needed or what was going to make them effective, but it was only after we started looking at the speak up surveys from our students that we understood what the real priorities were for them. And so I love that part of the work that we do.
Yeah, and you said some things there that I may have to borrow when I speak to people, especially because I would say, I mean, one thing is the students and their ideas. And I think, you know, as again, as a classroom educator for many years, I for a long time thought that I had to make all the decisions and I was the only one that had the voice in the classroom. But we know that's not true. The students have great ideas and it can be uncomfortable at first to kind of step out of the way and let them take whatever the action is. But we need to hear from them and that speak up. It just resonates so well with me because students need to have that voice because they are the ones that are experiencing whatever methods we're using, our tools that we're bringing into the classroom. And I often say, you know, their learning journey, but I really, really like what you said, the educational destiny. So that's the part that I may borrow from you. And so I've really enjoyed listening to, you know, your ideas, this process, everything that's offered. That's available again for free for educators to dive into. And when you go to the site, like I did, and I'll be sharing all the different links to see what's available, it really does make it easy to get started. And it's something clearly, as everybody who's listening has heard today, and when you go to the site and look at the resources, it's clearly valuable and it's going to make a big impact for students, for schools, for families. And so back to you, Dr. Evans, if somebody wants to view, you know, the information, the data, or participate in this, where should they go first?
Well, come directly to our website. And it's probably the best URL to remember. It's tomorrow.org. So come and visit us there. You'll find information about the Speak Up surveys, how a district could participate. And you're absolutely right, Rochelle. We give a school or district everything they need. You need something to put in your online newsletter. You need something to put on your website. You want to have some social media posts. We have everything already written for you on how to participate in Speak Up. We have lesson plans for teachers on how to incorporate the conversation around student voice and student agency into the classroom experience. So everything is there for a school district to get started. But we also, we just love the personal connection that we have with school and district leaders. And so contacting us directly at research@tomorrow.org. Our team will be right back in touch with whoever would like to get started. They can learn a little bit more about Speak Up and how to become not only a participant in the process, but how to get the most value out of that process. And again, this is 100% a free service because we believe so strongly that the voices, the views of students, teachers, parents, and administrators can be a powerful asset for decision-making if that data is collected in an effective and efficient way. And we can help you translate that and connect the dots to actionable knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the links that you gave me, I'll make sure that I put those into all of the other show notes listings of links that I've gathered. And lastly, if anybody wants to reach out to you directly, you know, how could they connect with you?
Very easy also. jevans@tomorrow.org is my email. So love that. You can contact me directly. Want to talk more about this? Maybe you've got some examples of things that you would like to be able to learn more about. Happy to do that at any time.
All right. Well, Dr. Evans, thank you for joining me today. It's nice to have somebody to speak with and to learn from on my podcast.
Thank you.
All right. And for everybody who's listening, thank you for tuning in. Hope you will continue to listen and have a great rest of your day. And we will catch you in the next episode.